What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, right there alongside of me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another edition of Blind Side Blitz. And we are brought to you by the great people over at grumblingsmedia.com. Head over there to check out all the latest and greatest articles and podcasts like ours, whether it be sports, entertainment, political, if you're into that kind of thing. It's all over there. Make sure you give it a look-see. And then you can also further support this channel, which we are growing like crazy on YouTube. Head over to Grumblings Media. Hit that subscribe button for us. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Just a click away. It's absolutely free. And share it to all your family and friends as well. But we are soaring. We are eclipsing 5,000 subscribers
wow,
at the moment.
Moving right along.
We just keep moving up the mountain. But we're not here to talk about all that. We're here to talk about some football for all you guys. And what a big, big week it is. We're going to be covering the Super Bowl, of course, for you guys. But also, we're going to get into some trade discussions as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. It's been a little while again, but I'm back. It's funny how playoff time, you know, happens, and then I was just getting sick all of a sudden. The most exciting time to talk about things like that. You know, I'm dying, and I can't even talk about it. It's crazy. Yeah, lots to talk about, a lot of news shaking up, especially getting towards the end of the year. We got the big game coming up. Not excited about the teams that are in it. You know that. You know I'm a Giants fan, so to see the Eagles right in it again. You know, and then the Chiefs also right there again, making their way into this game again. Along with some other controversy alongside of it. But the big talk right now is a couple of the trades that are going out there, or it's talk of trades. Myles Garrett, you can kind of see it towards the end of season two and the way, you know, when they panned to him on the sidelines that this was coming. And here he is now. Myles Garrett requests a trade, but there's a lot to go into some of this too because there are some complications too on top of this if, you know, the Cleveland Browns do end up going through and looking for a trade that would on March before March 16th, it would trigger a 2025 dead money charge of $32 million here. And they're already projected to be more than $27 million over the cap. So they'd have to do some finagling here, Joe, but what do you got on this one?
Yeah. And that's the big deal here is they are going to be looking for a trade partner to get rid of Myles Garrett, even though Andrew Berry himself, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, has stated, I am not trading Myles Garrett at all. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. Well, here comes Garrett with a official trade request, publicly putting it out there, getting everybody, all these other teams that would be interested, all kind of excited of the possibility of adding a talent like him. He's 29 years old currently. Like Jim mentioned earlier, they're going to be close to $30 million. They're pushing $30 million over the cap as we approach the offseason. So you know that they could really use any kind of cap savings that there is. So look for Myles Garrett to kind of make his claim, and hopefully he will get traded to another team. Now, I went through and I looked at some of the past trades for pass rushers / defensive ends, and I tried to make it come slightly close to Myles Garrett and what we could maybe expect for a trade compensation. You look at Von Miller, who was seen, yes, towards the end of his career, but got traded from the Broncos to the Rams for a second and a third round pick in 22, was at 30 years of age, but in that season had 9 sacks. You look at Jason Pierre-Paul in 2018, you know, got traded for a third round pick to the Buccaneers and was 29 years old, the same age as Garrett, and had 13 sacks that year. Hassan Reddick, another guy who got traded. He's only 30 years old, but to the Jets and only had a sack, didn't really do that much. And then you look about the Giants, who they added Brian Burns in a huge deal that nobody thought was going to happen. But in 24, it recently had a second-round pick and 2 fifth-round picks. Brian Burns, only 26 years old, had 9 sacks this previous season. And then obviously the next two that I want to bring up is Montez Sweat and Chase Young, both from the Washington Commanders, both at 25 and 26 years old. One getting a second-round pick, one getting a third-round pick to be traded. So by looking at all the data there and then kind of surmising what Myles Garrett, what could we expect from him? Because although some of those players are not even close, actually all of them are not even close at this age of what he's been able to produce on the field, it's going to be starting the conversation with a first-round pick. It's that simple. Now, depending on what team is going to be picking or where they're picking, is going to decide on how much more compensation after that. You know, if you're picking higher, obviously maybe you can get away with just a first or maybe 2 seconds or a second and a third and some change. So something to keep an eye on for Myles Garrett and Cleveland Browns if, in fact, they do trade Myles Garrett, which it seems like it.
Right. I mean, again, once a player knows that, you know, he says he wants out, so, you know, that's when it starts talking, you know, because, again, value is not there for, you know, other teams know that he wants out. So, you know, there's disgruntled relationships there. He wants to be a winner now with his age. You know, getting there at 29, wants to try and go to a contender because at Cleveland right now, it just ain't it. You know, they tried multiple times. The Deshaun Watson deal, it was a bad deal. And the good thing about this guy, too, as opposed to some of the other guys that you brought up in some of those trades, he's consistent throughout the year. He hasn't had a turn.
Double-digit sacks.
You know, double-digit sacks consistently and hasn't had really a down year in his whole career so far. So that's a bright spot here for teams looking for a guy like Myles Garrett. Right now, if you look for next year's cap space, the Patriots, Raiders are up there in cap space. And Commanders and any of those teams here too could use a guy like Myles Garrett, and it would be an impact for them right away. So that could be interesting.
There's actually half the league that is in need of a pass rusher or another pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fun to watch to see what the bidding war might end up being, to see what teams will be interested. I mean, you brought up Washington. That to me would be an amazing ad for the Commanders,
because that's kind of the
what they've already
right
overcome and have achieved at this point with a quarterback going into a second year. So I think the possibilities are endless in the NFL. There's going to be no short list of teams interested in his services. It's just going to come down to how much compensation a team is comfortable in paying and what they can do if they have to take on the whole contract, because that's the other part of it. So it'll be interesting to watch and to see how it is, because we've all heard Myles Garrett wants to win. He's looking to try to be competitive and win a championship and all that, just like any great player would. So all in all, it's going to be interesting this offseason.
All right, next up, also right after that news popped out, we've heard that the Rams now are looking to trade Cooper Kupp. He openly says that, hey, this is what's going on. This has been a storyline for, you know, throughout this whole season. You know, there are rumors around the trade deadline that Cooper Kupp would possibly be moved. And then, lo and behold, he's still on the team. They make a playoff run. But with, you know, his injuries that he's had throughout his career and the elevation of Puka Nacua, you know, how he came out in his rookie year and really showed up and he's consistently performing, they've got their new number one there. So Cooper Kupp, they can get compensation for him right now. And if you look at his numbers, too, he only had, I think, one season that was over like 1,000 yards, I think, too, you know, which is kind of surprising for a guy like Cooper Kupp, because you see the tools that he has. You know what I mean? The agility, the route running, everything. He has everything you need, but the ability to stay on the field a lot of times is what has caused some of that. So he could 100%. Be a good player for another team here to fill in, but that injury bug has plagued him throughout his career.
And that's it right there. Cooper Kupp and all the injuries that mounted up to this point. He's 31 years old. He's towards the end of his career with all those injuries mounting up. You don't get any better after 30 in the NFL. So the Rams are taking a preemptive strike on this, and they are going to be looking to move on from him. His cap number in 25 is going to be $29.7 million. His cap number after that in 26 will be $27.3 million. So they're looking to get rid of most of this money, although they are going to be hit pretty hard in the dead cap department. Maybe they can make this trade seamless and a little bit easier on other teams if they're able to kind of absorb $7.5 million that's owed to them in guaranteed salary, making it a little bit more attractive to go after Cooper Kupp. But, I mean, honestly, the Rams have made this decision. They're going to be moving forward, and they're looking to kind of retool that wide receiving core going forward. You know, Kupp is not happy about it. He made that public on X, saying that he just totally disagrees with the decision. But unfortunately,
it's
at the mercy of the Rams right now.
Right.
The other part, The other thing, too, is to look for some of these teams to be going after Cooper Kupp, teams that like the Bengals because T. Higgins is going to be on his way out. The Steelers always could use another wide receiver. Commanders, another up-and-coming young team. The Chiefs, obviously, they've been going through like a musical chairs at wide receiver, trying to find the right one to fill in. The Patriots, who are in dire need of help in that position. And another curious one to watch for is the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be interesting to check out. And he did have two seasons over 1,000 yards. One was over 1,000 yards. One was almost 2,000 yards, 1,900 yards. But still, again, with the other seasons, years that he had, again, it was not the ability to stay on the field, which has kind of been his Achilles heel to his whole career. But yeah, he's going to be one of those teams that's going to go to a contender, and one of those contenders will likely pick him up. And I could see somebody even like the Chiefs doing like that. That's the one thing about the Chiefs that they have done so well throughout, you know, the last couple of years, and why I think they still stay so good as they are. They're not a team that really needs a whole lot of needs, especially in the certain key positions, you know, quarterback, on defense or where they are. They have the ability to pick up a free agent that'll fit in the system and kind of make it work. Former players that used to have on the roster, Juju Smith-Schuster now, you know, things like that. So them to get like a Cooper Kupp, it would work for them too, especially if he is injured a little bit too. That's fine. They have Worthy. They have a few different guys. So that would fit the bill there. But to see him in one of those other teams like the Lions, I mean, that would be exciting to see too. And imagine the depth on that team. I mean, that would be cool. And again, looking at cap space, things that they, you know, who knows? Maybe it's like the Washington Commanders again. They've got a lot of money to spend too. If they decide that they can run it back here, they get a pass rusher and, you know, some other key pieces. Add Cooper Kupp to that wide receiving core. That could be dangerous too as well.
Yeah, and the other thing too is like we think about compensation. We already talked about Garrett. But for Cooper Kupp, it's not going to cost a lot. A wide receiver at 31 years old who has an injury history beyond that, look for it to only be like kind of like a mid to late round pick, a fourth or a fifth round pick to kind of get the deal done. And teams like the Chiefs could see this as a bargain purchase, and maybe it pays off in the end.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got William Del Pilar is in the house with us tonight. Kupp has a ring, has a fat contract, and can afford living in California. He's living large. I wonder if he has the fight left in him to play at the level he's used to. I think so. Again, that's why I think he's upset that he doesn't want to leave. Like, he's comfy where he is, too. He's been with the Rams his whole career. Him and Stafford definitely have a good relationship. And I think still, as long as, McVay and those guys are there, they still can contend. You saw it this season. Again, even when they had some down weeks, they still were competitive, and they made that strong push at the end. Just ran into a tough team that knew how to play better in the elements than they did, and couldn't outlast, you know. But potentially even the best team in the league, you know, at this point, too. So it's tough to see. We'll find that out in the Super Bowl.
Thanks,
as well.
William, for the question. As far as competitiveness goes, like, I think Cooper Kupp still has that drive in the NFL. But he's limited because of those injuries. I feel like the injuries have kind of crept up on him, and that's what's kind of limiting his explosiveness that he used to have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Joe, last week, again, I didn't get to talk about it here, but the Bills, you know, fall to the Kansas City Chiefs again. And watching the game, there were a couple controversial calls and non-calls and things like that. One of the things I got to see again is the multiple, which they stand out, the one taunting, you know, that could have been called on Travis Kelce.
Should have been called.
But he did it twice. And, again, personal foul, you know, that, you know, taunting, you know, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. You know, that's even, means to maybe possibly get ejected from the game too as well.
Two personal fouls. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And they didn't call him at all, either one. And this is partially part of the reason why I think a lot of fans out there dislike the Chiefs. Yes, we've heard a bunch of different things, excuses. You know, yes, they win, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people are kind of just tired of it. They want to see somebody fresh in there. But, so, and as long as with the refs kind of thing is too, these guys with punk attitudes that they have here too, doesn't help the fact. The way they act, or, you know, yes, I get it. You're on top of the league, I guess, right now. One of the better teams. You are the remaining champions until somebody knocks you off again. But things like this, and the fact that they didn't get called for it in the game, but then NFL finds it necessary enough to fine them $11,255 after the point, I think is ridiculous. And the NFL does this a lot, where they've done it in games where there's just penalties that should have been called. And then they'll, you know, Roger Goodell will make a statement like, yeah, I want to apologize. The referees missed that call. You know, blah, blah, blah. My apologies to this team.
We're sorry.
Oh, that's great. But the game had already played, and there's repercussions, you know, when that happens. That play, especially when Jordan Phillips came over and headbutted him after the fact, if you had two game misconduct calls there, then they eliminate each other out. Then they're going for a field goal or the extra point with Harrison Butker. Instead, now you've got that call, brings them up right to the goal line. They go for two and convert, and that sets the game into a different view.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing, too, is, and you just brought up Jordan Phillips, who also got fined a $6,722 for unnecessary roughness because he used his helmet, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go unscathed either. Travis Kelce, I don't think it was a high enough fine for him. I mean, 11 grand for taunting and getting in, doing unnecessary things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and not to mention he was 2 feet or less right in front of the referee when he did it. Yeah. He was jawing off and taunting the other player as soon as the play got over. And it's like anybody else, and I mean anybody else in the NFL, whether you're on the Eagles or the Lions or any one of these other really good teams, the Bills, you're getting flagged right away in that situation. That player's getting a personal foul. That player is going to be get one step away from getting kicked out of the game. How can you not make these calls that are so blatant in front of the fans, in front of the national media? And you talk about national media because Troy Aikman himself, who's been calling these games, has lit up the referees, you know, verbally on live. Like, basically saying, I don't understand this. How can you make that call? How can you not make this call? Like, what are they doing? And Troy Aikman is just reiterating what everybody's thinking or yelling at the top of their lungs at home. So something has to change. And we all know this, but will it? We're going into the Super Bowl now where it might not. It might continue trending that way. And if it does, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to grasp.
All right, Joe, here's that footage right there. Which is
Hamlin taking it to the ground. And Kelce came over and said, what's up with that?
Yeah, see that?
Yep. Two touchdowns by the Chiefs.
Kelce knows how to get under his knees. Like,
and then he gets the headbutt right after.
Phillips comes in.
And the flop.
Yeah, look at the fake. Look at the fake.
And Tony Romo calls it. And this is what's funny about these guys and why they're so upset, too, is because their colleagues are calling them out. The guys that are former players that are now in media are legit saying this stuff on air. Tony Romo.
Right.
Call said, hey, there is Kelce doing his thing, flopping. Joe Buck, you know, and Troy Aikman. Tom Brady is a big advocate now for some of this stuff to change, which is kind of funny now, too. But, yeah, I think maybe even the fine was combined with the one that he had did early that nobody's showing either, too, that he was taunting earlier in the game. But then that one was the one that created, you know, the impact with Phillips. And he got more of a fine than Phillips, which Phillips actually made you know, contact with him, which I think is kind of funny. And I think it's funny too. It's like the $11,255. Like, well, it made it $55.
Yeah. How do they come up with these numbers?
Yeah, it's like, let's make it a little less. It's like $255. This is the thing why people don't like them, I think, on top of it. He's got the attitudes, the interviews that they do, and the media is kind of feeding into it as well. And what I hate, too, is this. The media also will fuel them. The media is fueling them by saying, hey, you guys are hated. You're villains. what do you think about that? Blah, blah, blah. And now, like, we're embracing it now. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course you're embracing it because we're calling you a villain because you're acting like one. You're acting like a douchebag already on top of it. So people don't tend to like douchebags. You know what I mean? So so you're like, all right, I'm going to increase my douchebaggery. This is going to be amazing, you know? And this is why a lot of people can't stand them.
Right, right.
So that'll lead us to even to the next topic we're going to bring up is Patrick Mahomes flopping. And it may lead to some rule changes now because the NFL had talked about it. Tom Brady has advocated, like I said, to this. He had been on an interview, I think, with Colin Cowherd and went right after him, right after Mahomes and the way it's been and defending defenders. Because, again, he says some of the moves that you're doing and scrambling around and so the late strolling or stopping before you get out of bounds and things like that, where a defender, his job, his sole job is to knock the ball out of your hands, to try to create turnovers. What's the biggest decision maker in a game? Turnovers. So the defense is trying to create a turnover. So impact plays. And when you are doing some of these other things, these plays where you're getting into that motion to where a defensive player is trying to create an impact to create a turnover, and the decisions you're doing or even deciding to flop or, you know, motions you're making impacts that, and he's flagged for it, what is he to do?
Yeah.
He is handcuffed then.
Yeah, and he can't stop. How it's been.
Right, and the quarterback, he's got all control of his body. Whatever he can do, he can stop, he can slow down, he can do this. The defender has to react to whatever he can. And if he decides to go for that impact play, he's already in the motion. You've talked about it before. If you're already into that, you know, impact type of tackle, you can't just stop. You can't go 50% either because, again, is that going to create a turnover? You know, you're not going to get that job done.
Yeah, you're already committed to make that tackle. You know, and it's interesting because we brought up Troy Aikman just a second ago, but here's what his quote was. He goes, "You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with the defenders and then be able to draw a penalty," end quote. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the things, like, you're playing games. Mahomes knows what he's doing. Let's not make it sound like, no, oh, he's not really sure. No, he's playing within the rules, but he's manipulating the referees into calling certain penalties that they probably shouldn't. Because if you're giving up the play, we've seen him run towards the sideline against the Texans, and he got kind of just stopped before he went out of bounds, and he got hit in the back, and he was looking for a call, but no call was made. Like, there's situations like that. There's situations like the late slide that he had where the two Texans collided with each other and got a roughing the passer call, because he slid late, but he didn't even get contacted.
No, they hit each other. Like, so they almost injured each other.
To be honest with you, it just doesn't make sense. We've seen this over and over with this team, and that's what leads to a lot more hatred being built up towards them, is because they are getting that favoritism card. I know they don't like to hear about it. I know we've had the head of officials, the officiating association, come out with a comment saying this is absolutely ridiculous and just how can you even say that when we do our best? We have over 100 referees doing all these games. We're not in conjunction to favorite one team. Well, sorry, but you can clearly see everybody's watching the game just like us at home. We're watching the game. We see these things happen, and whether they get called a penalty or not called a penalty, but the evidence is right there. Like, we've already seen it live, and sometimes you see replays. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at what point is this going to stop? Because it's not a fair game. It's just not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because and I'm not saying every call is made in the Chiefs' favor. No.
Right. No, it's not.
Specific moments and specific, you know, a specific play, whether it be a big play that got called back or whatnot, those are the ones that are being changed or called or not called in favor of the Chiefs, which gives them more opportunities to win the game.
Right. High impact, too. The yardage per penalty. some of the pass interference calls. Oh, roughing the passer again in that same Texans game. Patrick Mahomes got knocked to the ground, flag instantly in front of him. He's looking up at the ref right in front of him, like, and then he's like, oh. It's like, and all he did is get shoved. Like, nothing. Hey, all right. I didn't take him down. Body weight. Didn't get hit in the face. Nothing. And there it is. And again, that's automatically 15 yards, moves it right back up. And that's a lot, especially with the way the game is played right now. You know, trying to fast pace, trying to get chunk yardage quick, move down the field to score. And especially that works into the Chiefs, you know, wheelhouse, because what they've got too with Harrison Butker too, the ability to kick as far as he does and how accurate. I mean, that only helps too with Patrick Mahomes and his arm. It is key. We got some more comments here.
Real quick before you read the comment, sure. Real quick, mm-hmm. Going to that Texans game, the Chiefs not only got, it was a third down play. You know, they got mm-hmm. three attempts to go for third downs. And then when they got the first down, then there was no more penalties. It was awfully funny how that worked. It went against the Texans, and then they get the first down, and now it's like, oh, it's okay. I've never seen that before in a football game mm-hmm. where you got three chances to get a first mm-hmm. down. Yep. So there's a lot of evidence out there for sure.
Right. All right, here we go. William says, call it unethical, but I call it cheating, and he does it for the call and gets it. I believe the refs are purposely giving them calls. Why? Well, there's always unwritten rules in all leagues. They want the premier team and players to make it to the big show. And when it's not just the fans, but analysts and players, you know the fix may not be in, but it's as close to a fix as you can get. Right. Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, I don't know if exactly it's that far, like NFL's like, oh, this is who we want, because I think even having, say, the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl against, you know, the Bengals, I think that would still draw a lot of people because it's fresh too, you know, to an extent. But, you know.
Yeah, it would have drew a lot of Detroit Lions fans and everything, of
no,
course.
No, I get that, but I like, think some people would like to see that difference. But the way the Chiefs are, especially with winning, you bring a lot of new fans. And the old ones, too, as well, especially with the Taylor Swift and how polarizing that is, too. Yep. You're bringing those fans.
That's
the thing. And you're getting viewership. I mean, they're expecting
– and money.
Last year, I think 123 million people watched the Super Bowl, and they're expecting 203 million this year. So that's even a jump again after even seeing two teams who – played each other just a couple of years ago, play again.
Yeah, and you know the real reason for that is because people are going to tune in, like myself, and I'm going to be hoping the Eagles win and not the Chiefs mm-hmm. because because of how they got there this season. Mm-hmm. This season mm-hmm. in particular is really the big, you know, the stir in the pot thing all season
right.
for the NFL.
Right.
It's
right.
not the previous championships that they won. You couldn't argue that. They just outplayed the opponents that they played in the playoffs. So mm-hmm. this year is really the reason or the problem that everybody has with what is happening in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs getting there and how they got there. So mm-hmm. that's the concerning part.
Right, right. And I'm afraid some of it, again, too, is again, reps seeing these guys. These guys are the new stars. They're getting to know them. It's popularity. To kind of draw like a parallel, but not too crazy, so don't hit me on this one. But it reminds me a lot the way the O.J. Simpson trial went. You know what I mean? O.J. got off. There was a lot of clear evidence, you know, that showed that pretty much he did it. But the jury found him not guilty, things like that. And I think that was because they know O.J. O.J. is a star. He's a former Buffalo Bills running back. I know him. Oh, my goodness. You know, starstruck a little bit. So he got the call, you know, in the trial. And I think that's what happens, I think, with some of these refs, too, with some of these players, Patrick Mahomes, that they get the calls because, you know, they're the guy. And I think that happens in some of these games.
There's a lot of great players, a lot of superstars.
No, I hear you. I get that, too, as well.
Like, I don't think that's necessary. Like, it's part of it. But it's not to that degree. Like, oh, the Chiefs are the only ones that have – they got Patrick mm-hmm. Mahomes and they got, mm-hmm. you know, Travis Kelce, and we're going to bow down to them. No, I don't – I think mm-hmm. it's more of the storyline behind the scenes that the NFL has been helping the Chiefs because they know they – like you mentioned before, They have Taylor Swift. They got all those fans. And it's all about the green. It's all about money making. So what is bigger than that? The Super Bowl. And if we can get all the Swifties and all the Chiefs fans and everybody back into the fold, they know they're going to make oodles and oodles of money along with the Eagles fans. So I think that there was a narrative to it, and they were helped to get to this point, because if you just take a second and watch those games and watch how not the defense, but watch how the offense for the Chiefs played and performed. Very lackluster, not Chiefs-like. Patrick Mahomes had his worst year yet. And still, they were able to figure out how to put just enough points on the board to win the games.
Why are you guys leaning into this whole ref thing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you guys leaning into it?
Because it's a thing, Travis. So yeah, here we go. So that brings up the question. We were kind of talking into this and kind of led into this perfectly. So will fans actually boycott the Super Bowl? I know a lot of people are upset about it. I for one was almost like, I'm not going to watch it. But again, with, you know, what we do here now, you know,
yeah, we kind of have to watch
stuff like that. This is like our job, you know what I mean? So yeah, this is our job.
We kind of have to,
you know, even though again, it painfully hurts me. So this year I actually did get in on football squares, so I'm excited about that. So it gave me something to root for, at least. Sort of like how I do to myself during the regular season, to where when we do our football picks weekly, I pick against the Giants because, you know, I expect them to lose. But if they win, there's a happy spot. You know, the Giants actually happen to win a game. So this is what I did here too. So I'm excited for that. But you can't though. Again, and it's what you said, Joe. Yes, a lot of people are tired of seeing the Chiefs there too. You know, it's rough when there's the same team kind of going back here and there. Some people get tired of it. But then also the people you're bringing in, the Taylor Swift fans, you know, that will just watch. I mean, people are watching. They're saying like over a half of the country is going to be watching this game, and that's big, you know. So to have a storyline there too, the NFL feeds into these storylines. What better one than to be, this is the team that you're kind of getting sick of now. They have a lot of attitude because they're douchey, and you've got Taylor Swift on board on top of it as well, and Brittany Mahomes a little bit, but she's kind of, you know, tame compared to everybody else now. It's kind of funny, Joe. And now they have the potential to be the first team to ever three-peat out of these dynasties that happening, you know, and Andy Reid, you know, being one of the greatest coaches of all time, and this Chiefs team being a dynasty now, that's a big storyline. So people are going to watch it. For one, Chiefs fans would see them do it, or like you said, on the opposite side, Eagles, the Eagles are going to be the now the bad guy turned good guy somehow to this one, and, you know, to be the hero, anti-hero in a sense that comes through and now has to be, you know, the victorious one. You know, it's like the Eagles are like the Venom of the Marvel universe. You know, he's a bad guy a lot of times, but all of a sudden he's called upon to be the good guy to do the right thing for the humanity here. And so this is what everybody's looking to see now, potentially, is now the Eagles stop them from getting this three-peat. And that's what I think is the drama here that people will tune in for.
Yeah, and mind you, the Chiefs are going for their fourth Super Bowl in 6 years. No other team has ever done that before. It's truly amazing what they've accomplished. But, man, this is one of those things where, like, I could see a lot of fans just not watch the Super Bowl because they don't care. They don't care about either team. They don't care. They're sick of, like you said, the Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl. It's time to move on. We're not even going to bother watching it. You're going to have some people. Now, you mentioned the expectation. The millions of people they're expecting to watch this game. And obviously it's the biggest game of the year. A lot of people do tune into it regardless of what camp you're part of, whether your team's in it or out of it. It's like one of the biggest celebrations of the year that everybody comes together and watches. So it's going to be interesting after the fact to see what those numbers really are. Were they what they expected, or were they way lower than what they expected? That'll determine if this question is a yes or no.
Right. I don't see it. William Del Pilar is out there. He had a comment. He said, you know, boycotting the Super Bowl for the masses is like asking a crack addict to go cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
But it's not going to happen just because even the fact that, Joe, so many people nonchalantly just go to a Super Bowl party because that's the thing to do around now. They go to the party without even having a pony in the race. They do this. They get together. True. And this is like another just, you know, holiday thing, you know, that, you know, like people do, you know what I mean? St. Patrick's Day, get together and stuff like that. Whether they do or not. People don't even know who the teams are. People don't even watch football and they go to the Super Bowl get-togethers. They watch the game and not knowing a damn thing. Those are the annoying people that we don't like, Joe, you know, some of these too. You know, you go as a dedicated fan or somebody that covers it. And knowing some of what you're doing, and then you got these other guys, you know, blah, 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 this and that, and even saying, commenting on it, then you look over and you're like,
what are you
doing,
bro?
Oh, my God, dude. Just, well, who invited this guy? You know, just
shut up. Whose lands is this?
Eat your wings over in the kitchen. Get the hell away from the TV. You know, like, what are you doing? And that's what I can't stand sometimes about this game, you know, where we are with it, but. That's the truth.
Is as Super Bowl parties do, they're very popular, but the more Super Bowl parties there are, the less people viewing. There's more people in the room. You got one TV, you're watching.
No, I get it there. I get
you
that.
So, that's the other caveat of that. So, it'll be interesting. We'll wait and see what the numbers, dictate, what they tell us. But I do expect a large amount of people watching the Super Bowl just because it's the Super Bowl.
All right, Joe, here we go. It's about that time. Super Bowl 59, Super Bowl breakdown time and predictions. Joe, here we go. This is it. Not the one I wanted to see. Not the one you probably wanted to see.
Absolutely not.
That road has finally made it here. The Chiefs are here, a chance at history to make the three-peat. Mm-hmm. The Eagles stand in the way, but the way I look at this game, though, and also when teams kind of enter this game, where are they at? Mm-hmm. What's good about the Eagles is Jalen Hurts, this team, they've already been here before. They've got a couple of younger guys that haven't had a chance to be here, but now are here, that are going to learn a little bit from some of the guys that have already been here. They've already experienced this, and they've been competitive in that game. That was a close game, and they just came up short. I wasn't actually rooting for the Eagles in that game, but this is a better Eagles game, a team, than that one 2 years ago. Even without Jason Kelce, I get that. They haven't really lost a step on the tush-push that they pull off, so this is what's really intriguing about these two teams. Right. Offensively, these are really tough types of teams, but they're different. The Eagles are going to come in and hopefully – try and run the football, establish the run. Saquon Barkley all day. This is what's bothered me about teams moving forward going into the playoffs and also the Super Bowl. And the Eagles were part of it even last time they were here. Get to the game, and then you change your game plan. The Bills did it last week when they did the divisional or the championship weekend against the Chiefs. You go into this big game, do what you do best. James Cook, nonstop. Run it down their throat. It was working, and you decided to not do this. You come out of the gate passing, and that feeds right into what this Chiefs defense does. Steve Spagnuolo, the special blitzes that he pulls off, this and that. That is what you want to stop here. So you want to be able to control the line of scrimmage, run the football. Saquon Barkley, potentially the MVP of the league, playing his best at, you know, ever in his career, almost breaking, you know, the rushing, you know, title here for this season. That's what you need to go into this game. You need to establish the run and behind him. All the rest should fall into place after that. It alleviates pressure from Jalen Hurts and the Eagles defense. Well, they're the top defense in the league, and defense wins championships here. So I expect the Eagles to run the football, keep Mahomes and those guys off the field, because that's especially what you want to do here, keep that offense off the field, control the game in the time of possession and the defense.
Yeah, you know, and the thing with the Chiefs, too, is, like, Coach Andy Reid, one of the best coaches to ever do it. And right now, currently, you can't argue that he's not the best currently. You know, this will be making his sixth Super Bowl appearance. Tying Don Shula for the second all-time appearances in there with a .730 winning percentage. It's truly incredible what this guy has been already been able to accomplish as an Eagles coach and now the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is going to be something to watch out for the Eagles. They have to contain him, yes, but at the same time, they got to eliminate a lot of these big explosive plays that end up starting behind the line of scrimmage. 27% of their offense starts from behind the line of scrimmage, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like a statistic that makes any sense for the Chiefs, but this is a different brand of offensive football for them that they've been doing this year. So a lot of times they're doing little swing passes out in the flat. They're doing wide receiver screens. They're doing little handoffs behind the line of scrimmage, jet sweeps and all that. So they're very creative in that regard. Now, if the Eagles defense is going to have any chance of limiting or slowing down this offense, they're going to have to play a lot of press. They're going to have to play up in the grills of the Chiefs wide receivers, you know, and get right up close to the line of scrimmage, because you got to eliminate those big plays that they are able to execute off of those plays behind the line of scrimmage. So that's one thing. Mahomes going against Vic Fangio, it hasn't been kind to Vic at all. Every time Vic Fangio's defenses have gone against Mahomes, he hasn't won a single game. I think he's 0-7 against Mahomes or the Chiefs offense, or 0-8, something like that. So that's something that I think Vic Fangio is looking forward to. Game playing against this Chiefs offense, can he limit them? Can he slow them down? For the Eagles, I'm curious to watch their offensive line. Their offensive line is one of the best in the NFL, hands down. And behind that, you have Saquon Barkley, like you just mentioned. Saquon Barkley, if they are able to run the football against the Chiefs, much like the Bills should have continued doing so, like you mentioned earlier, you have a stud in Barkley. You have a great offensive line in front of them. Utilize the running game as much as possible. Wear the defense down, because they're going to come early on. You know, Steve Spagnuolo loves to send pressure, loves to choreograph different looks on the defensive side, and always tends to blitz one, two, maybe even more. It's going to be weathering the storm in the beginning for the Eagles against that pressure. Are they going to be able to run against it? If they can do that, then they pretty much have a very big advantage against the Chiefs. It's going to be overcoming that initial threat. For Jalen Hurts and the wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and others, I'm not expecting Jalen Hurts to be kind of take this game over and just be like, the guy's going to throw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. And I'm not expecting that from him, because we don't even know how healthy he is at this point of the season. We've heard that he's been nicked up and all that. So as long as they can get that running game going, I don't see Hurts as being kind of like that dynamic quarterback for the Eagles, because he won't have to be if they can sustain the run. Just game manage, because that's pretty much what he's done all year.
Yeah.
I think there's only two games in the regular season that he threw for over 200 yards. You know, this team has been heavily relied upon Saquon Barkley. And if they can continue to do that, that's going to lead them possibly to win the championship. You know, on the flip side of that, you have the Eagles defense, which with Vic Fangio and how well they've performed down the stretch of the regular season, they've gotten much better since the week one. They're ready to take on the Chiefs right now. The Chiefs offense isn't what it used to be, but it's still a different type of dynamic. It's still difficult to stop. But can this defense, like Jalen Carter, who's been a wrecking ball for that D-line, can he blow up the middle of that offensive line, get pressure on Mahomes, make him feel uncomfortable, force him to the edges, to the edge rushers, and have them make plays on him? We saw a little bit of it from time to time when the Bengals faced them. We saw Trey Hendrickson get after them. You know, and I think you need that push up the middle. So the Eagles got to do their job, contain him, pressure him, force him into making, you know, to overthrow the ball and whatnot. this game, you know, it's really going to come down to all the details across the board. And then you even get to the kicking game. Let's just say, you know, you got two good kickers, you know, one in Harrison Butker, who's seen as the best playoff kicker of all time at this point.
Yeah, like at this
he's
point.
He's just been, in terms of accuracy, you know, that's the thing. Is he so deadly
that's the thing.
Accurate
he's so,
as a kicker, over 50 yards, that it's almost guaranteed
it's almost
to go in every time he steps on the field.
Yeah, it's money.
So that is going to be a critical thing. Now, if you're the Eagles, the game plan has to be, well, if we do have to bend a little bit, but we can stop them in the red zone. We can stop them at the 30 or 40-yard marker and force them to kick a long field goal, short field goal. If we can trade touchdowns for field goals, then we'll have the advantage, and we might be able to kind of dictate how this Super Bowl goes. So this game in its entirety is going to be insane. I don't really have much to talk about the defense for the Chiefs because, let's face it, they're one of the best defenses in football. They're going to continue to put pressure. You can talk about Chris Jones and George Karloftis and Nick Bolton and all the really good players that they have on that side of the ball. But we all know what they're going to do. Pressure, pressure, pressure. It's a matter of if the Eagles can protect Hurts, open up rushing lanes for Saquon Barkley, and then when it comes necessary and they send that pressure, get rid of the ball quickly, efficiently, to your tight end, your running back, whoever you so choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think a big factor here for the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles is the fact that they've got serious depth, and Brandon Graham's coming back too for this game too, which they haven't had in a while. You forget that he's even on the team sometimes, but here he is coming off of that tricep injury, going to be playing too on top of it. So you get one of your vets here back on the defense too as well, excited to play this game. So that would be nice for them. On top of Jalen Carter, Josh Sweat, guys that are already playmakers for the team. Cooper DeJean, who has been great, you know, as a rookie. And
same with Quinion Mitchell. Quinion Mitchell is another one that kind of stepped up.
That's what they got. So many players. And Saquon Barkley, like you said, he right now in the playoffs he's averaging 147.3 yards per game. And Jalen Hurts got to be that guy he's been all year. In the playoffs, he's 69% completion percentage with 3 touchdowns, no INTs. And the factor for the Chiefs on their side is they're ranked second and third down third down conversions and fourth down conversions. So they go for it just about every time and have success. And also Patrick Mahomes, game-winning drives in the regular season, 5 game-winning drives. And he's known for that. Did it last week or last championship game here against the Bills. So control the line of scrimmage, control the time of possession is the Eagles' game plan, and keep Mahomes with as little amount of time as you can. That's got to be their game plan moving forward. As far as for the Chiefs, again, they've kind of got it. They're the team on the top of the hill, so they got, you know, they don't have like a hill to climb, I think, in this aspect here. But the one thing I do see, though, is that they're the team with the least amount of talent. They've got their starters, and that's about it. They don't have any real depth. And even, like you even said, at the wide receiver position isn't exactly the best, but they've got guys that fit, you know, that works. The running game, not very good. Even though they got Kareem Hunt here, too, not really established in the run very well. And even last week against the Bills didn't really do very well here. And it looks like to me that Isaiah Pacheco is a shell of his former self. Like he's barely out there in the field and even doesn't look even like his old self.
But here's the thing with that running game is they've been a big proponent of running the football. They are not the pass happy offense like we are used to seeing. This year especially, they've had a running back by committee approach. Mm-hmm. They definitely try to run the ball first. Watching their opening drive. They're going to try to sustain the run game first. If it doesn't work, then they're going to go to their passing plays. And we've seen that in the past couple of playoff games that they've had where they tried to run the ball against the Bills, and it didn't work. The Bills did an excellent job on defense on limiting their rushing plays and then forced them to become one-dimensional. And that's going to be one of the key things for the Eagles, too. Can they limit Kareem Hunt, as old as that dude is, he's over 30 years old, and he's running like he's 27 again. So Isaiah Pacheco, he's still another hard runner. And I think he's still a really good player. But if you can limit these guys to 2 and 3 yards a carry, you've done your job. And that's what we're going to be looking forward to seeing is can the Eagles make the right adjustments in the right times and execute, whether it be defense or offense. Jalen Hurts, we all know him as a dual threat quarterback, but he hasn't really been that dual threat as of late because of the injury, because of him being nicked up. So if this is the last game, so I don't care if he's got to shoot up a drug killer, you know, drug pills or anything like Mahomes did when he busted his ankle in the playoffs and everyone made it a big deal.
In the Super Bowl,
the same thing. Dope Jalen Hurts up so he's going to take off and run when needed to. He's going to make the throw when he's needed to. This game is going to be an amazing game to watch. There's so many, matchups, and there's so many variables to this game that it is literally going to be a chess match.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be tough, back and forth. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat again too, even though I didn't want to watch it and stuff like that, but I'm going to. But like I said, for this one, I think it's the Eagles game to win. That being said, Joe, let's get to some predictions here. All right, let's go with MVP of the game here. Who do you think? Who do you think is going to take home MVP of the game?
MVP of the game? Let's see. I think it's going to end up – well, before I even say anything, I do want to make a little bit of a disclaimer for the Chiefs, is that there's rumors going around that their boy Rashee Rice might be available to play in the Super Bowl. Because even though he's had that off-the-field issues with the accident and all that, that's still going on in court, by the way. Yeah. The NFL sounds like they're going to, if he's good to go, they're going to allow him to play in the Super Bowl, even though that's still going on, which is, take it for what you want. Just one of those things. It's like, But that would be a huge positive for the Chiefs if he was available for them. But as far as, like, who I think is going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl, if the Eagles win, I'm going to go Saquon Barkley. I think it's going to be easy. I think that the Chiefs' defense, they're a good run defense, but they're not the best. And with this offensive line that he has to run behind, he might end up having one of the best Super Bowl, as a running back. In recent memory, like he could literally take over the game by himself, like he's done in the playoff games. So I would say for the Eagles, it'd be Saquon Barkley. I think for the Chiefs, I don't suspect any of the running backs are going to be in. And you know what? As far as MVP goes, it never goes to a defensive player.
Right.
But if there's any defensive player for the Chiefs that will probably deserve it, it's going to be a guy like Chris Jones, a guy that just seems to rise to the occasion in big moments. When he's needed the most is when he steps up.
Yep.
And it might be defensive this year. If the Chiefs win, maybe Chris Jones is the X factor. And maybe they finally give it to a defensive player. I know it's a long shot.
Yeah, but, it is a long shot.
The guy's done so much in big moments that it's hard to ignore. With all that being said and done, like as far as like their offense, obviously it'll probably go to Mahomes, but I think it's because of the lack of big time playmakers that he has on that side of the ball.
I would go
defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go same way you're out is. I'm saying it's going to be Saquon Barkley again because I think they can run against the Eagles team. That's what they have to do. I think they've been good at it all season. That offensive line on top of it, I mean, I think it's going to be his day to shine. He will be the MVP. I don't think the Chiefs are going to have an opportunity at it. If they do, it's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes. He's been making plays for him all season long. And like you said, they do try to establish the run a little bit here to try and be a little more balanced. But if you look at the games they've won, it is because he's been able to scramble and make plays with his pocket, out of the pocket.
He's had to.
So, things like that. It's not like, they're pulling out huge drives here and there. He's doing it because he has to. So that's what it would be and come down to in this game too as well. Final score, you know, and who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to go with the nation that's going to be rooting for the Eagles. And that's who I'm going to be rooting for. That's who I'm hoping wins. Do I think they're going to win? The hardest part of all of this is we've been through the rigmarole of discussion and variables and the referees and the Chiefs and the Eagles. The Eagles are going to have to play a near-perfect game to win. They really are, because I still expect there to be some bogus calls made in that game that's going to hurt the Eagles, and they're going to have to overcome it. They really are. And we've heard from the Houston Texans basically saying after their game, saying we knew we were going to have to come into Kansas City and we had to beat not just the Chiefs, we had to overcome anything that stood in our way against the calls. So.
Yep.
I think in this Super Bowl, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to go 24-21 Eagles.
24-21 Eagles. All right, there you go. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to say the same thing with you. I mean, this Super Bowl, this is the one I definitely didn't want, and this would have happened. So it's almost like. Oh man, it's like if Biden got reelected. I'm like, oh, I got to do this another 4 years. Oh, it's not what I wanted, but now I have to live through this.
Easy Joe.
Oh, it's like the worst thing that could ever happen. But it's here, and so I have to kind of side. Not really even like the west of the two evils, but I'm looking at it as talent wise and stuff like that. And across the board, I'm looking at this, and overall, the Eagles are a better team. I mean, hands down, when you look at it, you know, the defense, the offense, set aside just except for the head coach, I would say, again, the Eagles, the depth that they have then, too. Like I said, if somebody potentially gets injured, you know, for the Chiefs, then they start to have issues, I think. You know what I mean?
100%.
One of these guys goes down. I think the Eagles can live with some of that, even in this one. Because, again, the depth that they have. I expect the Eagles to win on this one. I don't think it's going to be easily done. I think it's going to be a little slow starting in the beginning of the game. Feel each other out, see how it goes, and then the action's going to happen. And I think it potentially could be I think even what the score of the Bills game, was it like 31-29? I say somewhere around that. I say the scoring starts happening a little bit, and then they go back and forth toe-to-toe. But I expect Saquon Barkley to run, and get the MVP in this one. And fly, Eagles, fly for this time. I hate to root for him.
Oh, boy, you said
not
it.
Exactly. but I just looking at it on paper, I expect them to win in this one.
I'd rather not see the
Chiefs, even though, again, I you know, before this, I never even had any hard feelings against the Chiefs or anything. I'm not a hater. I know they're your rival team. So, again, my rivals and your rivals face off here again, once again, in the Super Bowl. Last time when these guys played each other, I was all Chiefs. My son's a Chiefs fan. I was like, all right, well, sure, I don't want to see the Eagles win another one this soon, you know, another Super Bowl.
But again.
The fact that Saquon's on the team even too, you know, he's a good guy. And I have no hard feelings against him. I think he deserves this. And you see the way that this team is gelled together, even when Saquon jumped on board. Jalen Hurts is a different player too on top of it. It seems like they're really together in this one. So,
and it would be Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley's first Super Bowl. So, like, it would be something special. It would really mean something special to those two, you know, specifically. And I know there's others that obviously the rookies, you know, how about that? Cooper DeJean, you know, Mitchell, first year in the league and you win a Super Bowl, it'd be insane. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be something to watch for. Like, this is going to be an awesome game. I honestly wouldn't be watching this game if we weren't doing this show. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, and I know me too. I could totally be happy. It's like, Joe, let's have a gaming night or something.
I'd be out on the Super Bowl. Don't care. Don't want to watch it. But it is going to be – it should be a great game. It really should be. Hopefully the refs aren't too involved. for the wrong reasons anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody tune in. Going to be at the Superdome in New Orleans.
That's right.
The same place where the power went out, so hopefully they don't have any issues there. Yep. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the commercials. The commercials are going to be epic.
Yeah, usually I don't know. I don't care. They've been getting worse to me. Like, I can't stand the commercials now. I really don't care.
There's not as many good ones, but there are like two or three that you can watch and be like, oh, that's a pretty good one. You know, pretty creative, but we'll see.
You know what's funny is I think they did – there was a poll that went around about the Super Bowl, this coming one, and 47%, I think, said that they are interested most in the game. 19% was interested in the commercials.
Commercials.
Yeah. And the remaining 7% or whatever, like, or
just
something,
not watching.
Another something, it was like, yeah, there for just you know the food and
I'm
beer.
I'm just here for the. Shit. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah. They're like, whatever. I'm just here. I mean, which I thought was kind of funny too, that only still 47% of the people watching the thing, their main focus is the game.
Yeah.
You know, right. What I mean,
I would think that'd be bigger. That'd be a bit,
right.
You know.
Right, and that's, like I said, which kind of shows you the amount of people that watch it that have no stake in the game, that don't care, that don't even really traditionally watch football. But this time of year, it comes around, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going to be? You know, I mean, and that's the thing.
One, before we sign off, real quick, sure. I just want to mention this thing just to kind of stir the pot a little bit more for the NFL. You know, I heard that Dean Blandino's brother, the former head ref in the NFL, now he's doing just, you know, covering the games from here and there, said that he's convinced the league is rigged and that Dean Blandino himself signed an NDA so he couldn't speak on it. Just a little tidbit to make all you conspiracy theorists go crazy.
Go crazy, yeah. Yeah, because that's – the way I look at it, too, anything is out there because – again, the way that you look at verbiage, the way when people are asked questions, Roger Goodell, again, is not, he doesn't say, hey, you know, we are interested in the integrity of our sport, this and this. He says, we are interested in the integrity of our league and entertainment, you know, purposes, things like that. Entertainment. And this is things, and denial, which, if you look back at old footage of Vince McMahon, a lot of times, hey, you know, this is not, you know, flat out lying and then eventually saying, well, we have athletes and they're performing traditional, real physical moves and physically fighting and this for entertainment, you know, and this. And then eventually right. turning more into it. And then you're finding out now that everybody's just accepted that it's all storylines. Not exactly like there's kind of a predetermined ending, but
yeah.
How it gets there is all played out by the refs. They are the puppeteers, and this is why you see this in the NFL, and that's why everybody's
putting
fingers together.
And here's the thing: you brought up entertainment. Just so everybody, whoever doesn't know this, the NFL is not categorized as a sports league, like. Mm-hmm. NBA, MLB, NHL. The NFL is categorized as an entertainment league.
Mm-hmm.
So if they wanted to manipulate games or if they wanted to help out a certain team, they can't be brought to court or tried or anything like that because it's entertainment. It's how they make money. So just let that spin around on spin cycle in your brain.
Right, because just like the WWE knows and they've played it out there and fans of it, you know that they're out there, you know, you want people love just as much as the hero, the heel. And there you go. We've got the heel in the Super Bowl. And so
we do.
With that, we're signing off. Joe, we kept it within an hour. Holy moly, we did it.
Oh,
all right, so there you go. Our Super Bowl.
We're five minutes over.
5 minutes, our preview. There you go. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game. Have a lot of fun. We will be back next week to cover our reactions, see what happens, and also what some of these teams are going to do moving forward. There's some other storylines. Will Travis Kelce be back, or will he be out the door playing for somebody
Travis
else?
Kelce. Yeah, Travis Kelce said himself, he's like, oh, I can play football forever.
Sure,
okay,
sure,
bud,
sure.
Relax.
I have some insight on that, and next week I'm going to drop a team to where I can potentially see him going.
Well, how about that? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate all the support that is up to this point. You guys have been truly amazing. We are climbing over on YouTube. If you want to join the nation that is the Blitz Nation, head over to YouTube for us over at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, the thumbs up, share it to all your family and friends. It's absolutely free. Why not just click the button? Listen, you don't even have to watch us on it when we're live. You can just have it play in the background, you know. But if you want to get more interactive, if you want to answer questions like William Del Pilar did, tune in every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and drop it in the comments down below during our live. We'll react to it. We'll answer questions, whatever it may be. Jim, it's been another great pleasure with you on yet getting through a whole season. And for the first year with Grumblings Media,
that's right.
It's been an awesome
inaugural year. Absolutely. And there's more to
it. Continue this relationship. Thank you guys so much. You can also head over to grumblingsmedia.com, the website. If you want to read some great articles, if you want to see podcasts like ours over there as well, sports, entertainment, political, whatever you're into, make sure you go give it a look.